sense, except sadly, they deify these evil, well, spirits. And they have a plurality of the good spirits. The devil is just the opposite, confirmed in wickedness and the personification of evil. The father of lies, who uses all his intelligence to fight against God and everything holy. And not to know this is not to know the ABCs of the culture of death, which is so deeply penetrated the most crime-ridden century in human history, the 20th century. And believe me, I'm not talking piety. I'm talking straightforward Christian reality. Consequently, when God acts upon the soul, his mode of operation will be characteristically different from that of the devil. And vice versa. The devil reveals his proper nature. Now, beginning down to two norms or rules for distinguishing. And now, our first principle. I hesitated and prayed whether I should do this for our last class, but evidently I decided we should. Because behind what we're already saying had been months of lectures on the theology of the spiritual exercises. So what we're doing now is drawing on two rules. First, the divine omnipotence, God, if you wish, almightiness, acting without a preceding cause. This is God. Since only infinite power can directly produce an effect without a proportionate cause, one index, and a very crucial one, of divine activity on the soul is the presence of consolation without any previous cause. Says Ignatius, it belongs solely to the Creator to come into a soul, to leave it, to act on it, to draw it wholly to the love of His divine majesty. And this, by the way, is the language of one of the churches deepest mystics. When we hear the word mystic, we think, as we should, of a Teresa of Avila, or now Therese of Lisieux, or John of the Cross. But no mystic in the Church's history has more deeply penetrated into the meaning of mysticism than Saint Ignatius. Can God then produce deep, profound joy without any antecedent cause? Of course, He's God. Other rules need to be applied to recognize the source of consolation preceded by a cause. For example, my previous reflection in prayer, which may be induced, watch it, by either the good or the wicked spirit. So just because I've got spiritual consolation, how happy I am, does not mean that my joy came from God. As I've said, I'm sure, more than once to you, there is no such thing as an unpleasant temptation. Every temptation is sweet. Every temptation is attractive. Every temptation is nice. Every temptation is beautiful. The devil is no fool. In the absence, however, to conclude this section, of antecedent cause, and notice, I use the word causation, that's that stuffy, proud Father Harden. He shouldn't have said causation. To have people to cut up in the dictionary. How much I've learned since 1959. Next, your reaction of similar and dissimilar natures on contact. Experience tells us that persons who are similar in character easily get along together. Whereas opposite temperaments tend to clash and grate on each other. Over the years in counseling people before marriage, and this works on both sides. If she's interested in a man, she sizes him up. And, well, she wouldn't be a woman if she'd not adjust, come adapt her behavior to what seems to be his character, and vice versa. Then they marry. For some couples, in less than a week they find out. They call me a father. Do you know whom I married? I witnessed the marriage. He's just not the man that I thought he was. And vice versa. Why do we say this? Because the evil spirit is cunning beyond all human calculation. With pious people, he will be a pious demon. With prayerful people, he will be a prayerful devil. Do you hear me? This can go on for a long period of time. Now, four combinations are possible. The human person may be good or bad. In each case, he may be acted upon either by the Spirit of God or the powers of evil. In two cases, the combination is compatible, and the consequent deviation or reaction is agreeable. Thus, I'm now quoting Ignatius, in souls that are progressing to greater perfection, the action of the good angel is delicate, gentle, delightful. It may be compared to a drop of water penetrating a sponge. However, conversely, in souls that are going from bad to worse, where the disposition is similar to that of the evil spirits. And by the way, some human beings need more than one devil to seduce them. And the devil has legions behind him. Then they enter silently, as one coming into his own house when the doors are open. Notice, if a person is living in sin, the last thing the devil wants to do is to trouble that person, disturb that person, disquiet that person. I know I'm being taped, but I know the science of psychiatry. How many, God knows how many psychiatrists are agents of the evil spirit. It's years ago. In fact, so many years ago, I was preparing for my final vows as a priest. And we were given some apostolic ministry besides the last stage of formation, already ordained priests. Well, I happened to be counseling a woman married, had several children, as part of pastoral work I was engaged in. And, well, to help her, I asked her, was she consulting anyone else? Yes, she said, I'm going to a psychiatrist. So I asked her, what are the psychiatrists tell you? Has he given you any literature? Oh, yes. And she pulled out a book. Nationally circulating book. So I quickly paged through the book and found one chapter on how to deal with your conscience. Said the chapter, whenever your conscience tells you that something is wrong, you go against your conscience. You do what your conscience tells you is wrong. I'm quoting verbatim certain things you memorize. I'd rather die than have to say this, but I think I should. This pseudo-pastoral of a group of bishops, as you know, on homosexuality. The heart of that document states, there are people who have, homosexual orientation. Parents, therefore, should love these children and treat them kindly, gently, and not try to change their orientation. Only one observation I can make. My God, that's the end of Christian morality. And this is exactly what the homosexual network is teaching. It is now illegal, contrary to the law, to say that a homosexual behavior is morally wrong. It's against the law. It is normal for people who have, well, to repeat that orientation. Talk about the devil being successful. I hope I'm getting my point across. We go on. When very opposites meet, the reaction is entirely different than a God-fearing man. Is assailed by the devil. The after the devil is violent, noisy, and disturbing, may be compared to a drop of water falling on a stone. And that is why, in now 50 years in the priesthood, I've told people, in the name of God, strive with all the strength you have or the grace you have access to, strive to do God's will faithfully. Because then, but only then do you have a sound norm for distinguishing between the good and the evil spirit operating in your life. If before God I can say, and tell him, my God, you know I am weak. You know me far better than I do. But with all my heart, I want to do your will. Then, if such a person, and this is now the opposite, if such a person who is trying to do God's will is being disturbed, worried, anxious, depressed, and then that leads to the last D, despair. It is the evil spirit. The last thing the evil spirit wants is people who are trying to serve God to remain faithful in their resolution, corresponding. When the good spirits are trying to shake a sinner out of his lethargy, what do they do? I'm quoting Ignatius. They enter with noise and commotion that are easily perceived as alien to their nature. That is why it is perfectly good charity to pray for someone steeped in sin, living estranged from God, to pray that God may send, well, some deep problem, even some human or physical tragedy to wake the person up. Am I clear? Now there are 100 subtleties in which we will not go in class today, but I would share with you at least the fundamentals. And this is why we are to expect to be at peace. And I repeat, in the measure that we are trying to be faithful to the will of God. That does not mean, and in that terrible English language, that doesn't mean we won't have to now quote the dictionary, trials. or difficulties or suffering. But whoever said that having difficulties or problems or suffering or pain should deprive us of our peace? Am I still clear? And over the years of my priesthood, having had to interview, because the church asked me to, those who had a reputation for not just sanctity, but for mystical experiences. So I would talk to them. In most cases, 1 hour was long enough. Do they have trials? Do they have sufferings? If they don't, nice to have met you. I'll keep you in my prayers. It's the end of the interview. But peace. Oh. And this is a subject all by itself. Peace is the experience. The experience of doing God's will. That's my favorite definition of peace of heart. The experience of doing God's will. If you don't have problems, you don't have difficulties, pardon me, I hope you hear this again, you cannot be truly at peace. Am I still making sense? My spirit is at peace. Why? Because my will is conformed to the will of God. Just to remind you, what is our schedule? What time am I supposed to break the first class?
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock, thank you. Now the second principle. Finally, second principle. The good and evil spirits act for contrary purposes. More than just acting according to their respective natures. The good and evil spirits operate on human souls for diametrically, totally opposite ends or purposes. The good spirits, note the plural, the good spirits. And is not just having one guiding or guardian angel. There are situations or a person may need more than one good spirit. And I know our situations which the devil knows. One devil is not enough. The good spirits, whether God directly or for Ignatius normally, His angels and saints are uniquely interested in guiding men to their eternal destiny and the beatific vision. All the light and inspiration, and notice, whenever we distinguish between light and inspiration, we distinguish between the mind, which is light, and inspiration, which is the will. The offer, the light and inspiration they offer are intended to lead us closer to God. The devil and his minions, that's the good theological term for partners of the devil. Every person in mortal sin is a minion of the devil, an agent of the devil. So, the devil and his associates intend the very opposite. Condemned to hell themselves, they envy our lot as adopted sons, shall I say, adopted sons and daughters, I'm becoming more and more conscious of the feminist culture in which I'm living. In other words, they envy us. The devil envies all of us. And in God's mysterious, permissive will, evil spirits can incite us to sin. Notice, the incitement is the intention of the devil. It is not, that would be blasphemy. That is not the intention of God. That is why, to go back to that English language of ours, the word trial, what a difference in meaning. You're being tried by God to prove our loyalty. And among the ways in which God tries us is what we now call trials. Every trial is a gift from God. Do you hear me? Every trial is a grace from God. Do you still hear me? I didn't believe that, as I've said so often. Either have been 6 foot underground years ago, or permanently institutionalized in some large mental asylum. And just for the record, my 5 years as chaplain, I think I told you this on some occasion, at the State Hospital in Kalamazoo, while I was teaching at Western Michigan University. The university allowed me to, be the Catholic chaplain. 600 Catholics in the institution, and no Catholic chaplain. So my Saturdays and Sundays, I spent hours with these people. And most of them needed what we are here talking about. Crushed by, the cruelty, the injustice, the infidelity, the rejection by those whom they loved, and not being able to cope. That's why the psychiatrists at the State Hospital each morning would round up the people, long lines, inject each one with some medication to, put them out of, I don't say fully conscious, but normal human existence each day. No wonder my lowest figure is 60 million Americans are managing to have some peace of mind by taking medically prescribed, call them tranquilizers. And why the Psychiatric Association, I checked the figures, is now over 36,000 doctorates in psychiatry serving our Americans. We need a peace of mind in a world that is being, as we know, deluged with so much untruth. Consequently, in the permissive will of God, they can incite these evil spirits to sin if we allow them, cause our destruction by death in the enmity of God, and destruction not only by death in body, but death in soul. And we began our lecture this afternoon by speaking, remember, about the will. Everything, comma, everything in our lives depends on how we use our free will. Because we have. You don't explain it, you believe it. We have a free will which can choose. Lord, is it possible? He says, possible, nothing. It's a fact. We can choose what is contrary to the will of God. I repeat, you don't explain why God has allowed us to have this awesome power of choosing to do, well, what we choose, pro-choice, assuming it's my will, rather than choosing what God wants. And it's almost 3, by way of exception. How much of a break do we get usually? 15 minutes. Well, can I ask you to come 3:13, okay? There's so much to cover. Shall we pray? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Queen of Peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.